Blog Talk Radio.
Solomon had a wish, and that was that he would be a blessing to the people. My desire is that I would be a blessing to the people and be compassionate upon the people, to know their hurts and their bruises and their wounds and what they're going through, that I might be able to offer prayer or offer help in some way to be a blessing to them. Amen. So I want to be a blessing to you. If you give me a chance, if I fail the first time, give me another chance. That's the way of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He not only gives us one chance, but Jesus gives us chance after chance after chance. God bless all of you. Thank God for all of you coming from all over the world, from every denomination, church affiliation, church background, from every economic strata, and coming to join hands together with your brothers and sisters to pray and to give God praise. I do say it again, boldly, as the Lord said, say it to the people, that one day there'll be a stadium full of people who are praising God like the world has never seen before. I see them. Oh, such a roar coming from that crowd. And I walked up to the mic and I just simply said, praise check, and they just exploded. Went crazy for Jesus, praising him like the world has never seen before. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these precious people. God, lift them up to where they belong. Those who are going struggle through the struggles, help them. Those who have heavy burdens, lift the heavy burdens. Those who have heavy loads, lift those heavy loads. Oh, God, bless these folks. Help their families. Oh, God. Anybody going through bereavement, you know all about that better than anybody. And see them through bereavement in Jesus' name. Give them peace in the midst of their storms. Give them joy in the midst of sorrow and sadness. Give them love in the midst of them when the enemy is trying to bring hatred and take the love out of their heart. God, don't let him do it. Yeah. Bring hope, Lord, in the midst of hopelessness. And bring gentleness in the midst of roughness. How the enemy will have in the beloved. Bring kindness in the midst of and trying to make someone mean. Don't do it, Lord. Don't allow it. In the name of Jesus, we beseech you by the mercies of your own self, because there is none other above you. You are the only true and living God. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we have nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. You're the one, when Jehoshaphat was facing that vast army, you said, sleep on Jehoshaphat, and got in Jehaziel and said, the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. And when they tried to go out there and fight, they found out you had already been out there and defeated the whole army, and all the spoil was left for them. That was another exchange of wealth. But those were wicked people who didn't know you, God. But you killed them all, and then when they went out there, the spoil was everywhere. Money was everywhere. And everything they could name, they were blessed. And so we want to praise you. May I stroke your hair, if you would allow me to, just by telling you that ain't nobody like you. Nobody can do what you can do. For you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we even ask or even think. Who would not want to be your child? Although we're adopted, you treat us just like we're your sons and daughters. Just like Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. When you adopted us, God, you gave us the right to the inheritance of you, God, because we have because of you. You're the richest person on the face of the earth. And I call you a person because the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. And that means that Jesus is the second and you the first. You're the best person that ever lived on the face of the earth. You're the kindest person that anybody could ever meet. Yes. You are, God, the most generous person that anybody has ever met. You are the most loving that the world has ever known. You can do more for people than the world has ever seen. You You are the miracle worker. And God, you've given us more blessings in 2015 than we've ever seen. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you've been there every step of the way. You held our hand through the storm and the rain. Where we are, you brought us, Lord. And what we have, you gave us, Lord. If we are anybody, you helped us. And if we have anything, you gave it to us. Every time we look around, you keep on blessing us. You even put a roof over our head, and you even put clothing on our back, God. You even helped us, even yesterday when I went to the doctor. A few months ago, I had a few blood things in my eyes. Then I talked to you about it and went back to the doctor yesterday, and the doctor said, God, something has happened here. I don't see no blood clots, no blood, nothing in your eyes. Your eyes are 20/20, and you don't have to come back to me until about 6 months from now. Oh, you did it for me. You can do it for somebody else, Lord. You able to heal. You able to lift. You able to bring out all right. You can make a way out of no way. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just want to praise you. We give you glory. We give you adoration. And we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. And thank you, Jesus, for bringing us this far. Bless these folk on this prayer line. In the name of Jesus, lift every heavy burden. In the name of Jesus, oh God, give them the desires of their hearts, in Jesus' name. And Lord, would you allow me to just pronounce blessings over them? Bless them in this city, and bless them in this field. Bless their going out, and bless their coming in. Bless them, God. Bless their families. Bless their homes. Oh, see them through the storm and through the rain. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for what you're doing this morning.
Thank you.
Oh, God, we love you and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Exactly.
And Balaam told Balak, how can I curse whom God has blessed? Yeah, I have to bless whom God has blessed. That's when the blessings fall. Amen. Not as, I want to just tell you, that's when the blessings fall. They fall when you bless whom God has blessed. Amen. Leave the men of God alone. I told somebody, I saw this years ago, a man who was a great, great, great man, great Baptist preacher. Amen. Loved him. Amen. But he had a habit, and that could happen not only to anybody of any denomination, but he had a habit. He didn't understand the Holy Ghost. You see him, he'd make fun. Cha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Na-na-na. All that making fun of the saints. And keep on making fun of the saints of God. Amen. He died an early death. Early death. At a great church in Dallas. Amen. Keep on making fun of the saints. You better leave God's people alone. If you don't understand ta-ta-ta, na-na-na, ha-ha-ha, all that kind of stuff, leave them alone. Amen. Because, you see, they don't speak unto you. They speak unto God. They edify the Spirit. Amen. In them. Amen. Stronger. When you hear me say, don't make fun of me. Amen. Don't make fun of the Holy Ghost. Because you may end up dying an early death. I'm just trying to help you. Don't do it. I am a man of God. If you don't like me, bless me. Because you'll be blessed. Anybody who blesses God's people. There are women up here on here who are women of God. And somebody said, but you don't have a lot of men around him. You got a lot of women. But if you read the word of God, that's who got the word out. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't the man who went to the tomb and saw that the stone was rolled away. It was the women. And God did that on purpose. Why? Put those women around Jesus and his resurrection. Why? Because they're the ones who he knew that would get the word out to tell the whole wide world that Jesus is risen. If he had left it up to the men, the word would have probably still been around the tomb. Amen. So they would have been discussing among themselves. But the women went out and told everybody, he's risen! He's risen! Who's risen? Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. And anything you got and you don't have women around you, you're in a bad situation. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. God bless all of you on this line. I thank God for you. And thank God for all the men, too. I'm not leaving you all out. Amen. You've been a blessing. Thank God for you. Talked long enough. I want to have some praise reports this morning. In just a little bit, I will. Amen. And then I want to have some prayer requests. In just a little bit, I will. And let me go back to this and just give you a little more taste of it. When Saul put his anointing in layaway. Layaway, you know, is when you don't have enough money for something and they say, if you want it, you can put 10% down and we'll hold it for you. See, he put a hold on his anointing, a hold on his anointing. Thank you, Lord. How did he do it? I'm going to answer some questions here this morning, maybe help you. How did Saul put a hold on his anointing? Well, the Lord told him over here in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel that I'm angry with the Amalekites, the Amalek and the Amalekites. I want you to go and spare them not. I'm in the third verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman and infant and sucklings and ox and sheep and camel and ass. All of them. I don't want to even remember them. No. I want to do them like sin, cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, and remember them no more. I don't want nobody to bring their name. I don't want no oxen, no sheep. I don't want no suckling, nobody, camels and ass. I don't want nothing to remind me of them. No more. Amen. The Amalekites have messed up with me so badly. How did they do that? They went against my people. I'm trying to tell you, please, 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 do not go against the people of God. If anything, bless them. You don't understand them? Just bless them. everything you got to say about him, bless him. Don't try to go against God, people. Saul, he didn't get the message. He said, well, we slew all of them. Went and took his 200,000 men and slew all of them and killed the Amalekites. But he kept the sheep and the goats and the camels and all the asses. He kept them because that was the money that day. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. So he kept that money. Then the prophet comes to him and says, now, Saul, because you have rejected what God said, he says, God says he's going to reject you. Now, you see, you have to be careful. On the 23rd verse of that same chapter, as that same famous verse says, for rebellion, not doing what God says, not wanting to do his will, is as the sin of witchcraft. What is witchcraft? That tries to control your mind. It's creeping in the church everywhere. Show me, Dr. Johnson, how is it creeping? Well, you go to the doctor and go to him 25 times and do everything that the doctor says. And go to the lawyer and go to him 25 times and do everything that the lawyer says. But then you come to the church and come to the church maybe 25 times and the preacher say, lift your hands and tell God thank you. You'll fold your arms and won't move. Something's got a hold of your mind. Something's telling you that. Something's speaking to your mind, telling you, don't you move. You don't have to do. You're tired. You don't have to. That's witchcraft. The enemy is trying to control your mind to keep you from praising God. Why? Because he's a jealous fiend. He didn't have nobody praising God like y'all praised God a while ago on this line. His people on him are just like he is. They're trying to cut him and stab him in the back. Every time he turns his head, they're trying to do something against him, trying to flirt with this person, flirt with that person. They don't want to be aligned with the devil. Why? Because he had the same spirit in heaven. That's what I'm trying to tell you. His historicity, look in the 12th chapter of Revelation. It would tell you that he was up in heaven, and he convinced one-third of the heavenly host to stop worshiping God. It was all about the praise. Yeah, read it. Yeah, why did he do that? Because they were saying, praise you, God. Thank you, God. He got jealous. He had a jealous spirit. He had an arrogant spirit. He thought he was the one. Hot stuff. Y'all praise me. Give me glory. And see, that same spirit was kicked out of heaven. God ain't going to let that spirit back in there. It was kicked out in the first place. He's not going to let arrogant people, boastful, proud people who believe that they're so high and mighty and they're so smart. No. You need to go to God and tell him, I don't know nothing. I can't do nothing. I ain't nothing unless you make me somebody. And that's the spirit he wants. God seeks people who are failures, who have failed and realize they have failed. They've messed up. Why do you think you got a testimony? Why do you think he raised you up with the testimony, people across the country, that you were down, you used to drink all the time, but now he's delivered you. You used to smoke all the time, but he delivered you. You had tuberculosis, but he delivered you. Why do you think he raised you up? Because he looked for people who had problems and were failures. Because they were humble enough to receive everything that he says do. Because those folk in heaven, underneath the arms and the tail of the Satan himself, were taught with him the same spirit he had, they received it, to be boastful and proud. Why do you think in Proverbs it says that God hates six things, yea, seven things? And the first one in the book is the spirit of pride. Doesn't want that ungodly pride. We can be proud to be saved and sanctified and love God. No, that's not the kind of pride he's talking about. He's talking about that pride that makes you boast in yourself that you're so smart, that you can do this. You can't do nothing without Christ. Amen. What you have, he gave you. And so here in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, Saul had got beside himself, thinking, because I'm the king of Israel, I can almost do anything. God told me to kill everything and kill all the animals. I know good stuff when I see it. God can't tell me what to do. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And through all that mess talking about, I got to keep these cattle, I got to keep these sheep, because that's money. Oh, I got to keep it. Yeah, that's money. Oh, when you see, love of money is the root to all evil. When you get money in your eyes, be careful, because it's going to cause evil to come. From somewhere, evil will come, because the love of money is the foundation. The root is the foundation. The foundation of all evil. Who is all evil? Satan is all evil. In other words, the foundation of Satan is the love of money. Look at Hollywood. It's built on the love of money. Look wherever you want to look. It's built. You know, they're trying to build on the love of money. And so Saul got beside himself and got his anointing on hold. His anointing was placed in layaway. Don't put your anointing in layaway. And here he is, was a great king at first. But the reason why he was great is because of the anointing. Then he got the love of money in his eyes. And all of a sudden, here he is. His anointing is on hold. God. I just want to close here today and tell y'all, I love y'all. I appreciate you. But whatever you do, don't put your anointing on hold. Yeah. Because you're going to need it. Yeah. But what can destroy yokes? Nothing but anointing. And believe me, before you leave this world, if you don't have them now all around you, you're going to have yokes around you. Yeah. You're going to have trouble knocking on your door. Yeah. You're going to have trouble knocking on your door. And your anointing, it's what destroys that trouble. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But, see, the anointing will give you what to do in the midst of those troubled situations. And when you have your son or daughter who has somehow, you raised them right, but they get off the track, you're going to need the anointing to destroy the yoke, not only in your life, but you can be a help to them, too. It can destroy the yoke in their life. You might have a time when your bills are stacked so high you can't even see above them. But see, that anointing causes God to move in your behalf. And before you know it, those bills that you had stacked so high are all paid. And you look back and wonder how you got over. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over those bills. And see, sometimes you go to the doctor. All a doctor is another man who's been to school and studied maybe 8 years and learned what's in the books and learned, see what, and I like doctors. I'm not against doctors, but all they know is many times what they've done, experimented with, and has written down in books to tell the other doctors, don't do it this way because we lost them last time from doing it that way. And so they know it from experimentation. Man, just another man who experimentation. And you got to know that we got a doctor who's never lost faith. That's why I teach members Amazing Grace. Don't do it like Saul. Don't put your anointing on lay by or lay away. No. When you get ready, or if you have a sickness, don't be like those type of saints who say, oh, get me to the hospital. If I can just get in that hospital, emergency. It's going to cost you about $600 to ride to the hospital in the ambulance. Yeah, I said $500. Lady Betty told me, no, it's costing $600 nowadays to go to the hospital in the ambulance. You'll get the bill in the mail. And you're going to see a doctor who's lost many cases. Yeah. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he's a doctor who's never lost any case. That make me think, Mike, I call people silly people, foolish people, idiots. If God has healed your body many, many times and you have something else happen, and the first place you run into the hospital before you even talk to God, you're an idiot. Yeah, he's proven himself to you many times. And you're going to run to the hospital before you even talk to God or the man of God. I tell people like Elder S.E. Mitchell, who was my pastor, he said, if you get sick, call me before you call the doctor. Call me before you call your lawyer. Don't respect the doctor above me. Don't respect the lawyer above me. Because when I and the Lord and I get through, you may not need a doctor. You may not need a lawyer. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask. People think, oh my God, don't y'all got me going off here. Jesus is the answer to every problem. What do you know about any sickness? He made every sickness. Everything he made, he can heal. If you can have it, God can heal it. You can have a problem, God can fix it. He's over everything. He made everything. God made every problem. God made every sickness, every disease. Why did he make those things? He made them for his glory. You might have cancer. Mm-hmm. When he gets through healing you, you'll lift your hands and give him glory. He made them for his glory. Everything in the world is made for his glory. Mm-hmm. Here's Samuel. He has got beside, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Saul here. Samuel spoke to him. Saul got beside himself and said, I'm king. I don't have to kill all those sheep and cattle. I'm going to keep them for myself. And God said, sin of witchcraft. Yeah, sin of witchcraft. Rebellion against what I said is the sin of witchcraft.
Now
you're stubborn. It's like iniquity and idolatry. My God. And because you have rejected what I told you to do, and you didn't do it and put your anointing in layaway, I'm going to reject you. You're going to be like tingling brass speaking to something, and it's not going to move. It's not going to move. But see, when you got the anointing, you can speak to a mountain and say, move in the name of Jesus. And the word will back you up and says, if you have the faith as a grain of a, I'm sorry, if you got the faith, not the mountain, but if you have the faith as a grain of assistance, a mustard seed, help me, Jesus, here, early in the morning. If you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will move. Let me tell you something. Don't put your anointing in lay-by and lay-away. Keep it on hand, let me tell you. Fast and pray. How you keep it on hand? Fast and pray. Lean and depend on Jesus. Get up talking about Jesus. Don't get up making other idol gods. Stay first on your plate. No. Jesus got to be first on your plate. And get your anointing out of lay away and make him first. Yeah, get up talking about him. Get up praising him. Get up giving him glory. Get up for him. Get up, preachers, get up preaching about him. Singers, get up singing about him. Ushers, get up ushering about him. greeters, get up greeting about him. Whatever you do, just get up about him and make him first in your life. You got pains in your body, don't make the pains first talking about, oh, you hurt me. No. Get up talking about Jesus, giving Jesus glory. Lord, I pray. Be like Mother Johnson. Right in the school, open her mouth, the first thing she said, oh, my God. The first thing she did was, oh, my, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Praise and magnify the Lord. Oh, he's so good to me. Oh, I praise him. Look to God. All of my faults and so many, I praise him for thinking about me. Praise him for lifting me up and praise him for rescue. All night long I was just resting.
Oh,
I just praise the Lord. Woke me up this morning with my eyes on him, and I thank the Lord for that.
See, that is, woke her up this morning with her mind. Jesus was first. He was the first one to be spoke to. He was the first one to gain glory. Holy Ghost, please help me not to act crazy. Shut up, Andiki, out there. Let me tell you, he's the first one. He's the first one. Keep him first. Amen. God bless you. Don't put your anointing in layaway. Thank you, Dr. Prophet Wright, one of my sons in the Lord, and lay that on my mind. Don't put the anointing in layaway. Prophet Wright from Georgia. Yeah, my God, my spiritual father to him. And I want to thank God for him, for that on my mind. Don't put your anointing in layaway. Some of y'all who need a little gravy, don't put your anointing in layaway. Keep it handy. Keep fasting. Keep praying. It's going to be all right if you just keep your anointing in your life and keep God first. God bless you. I'm through here this morning. Sister Linda Forshee, amen. Thank you. You're almost all the time first on the line. A few times some people have beat you on the line, Sister Forshee. I think maybe a few times Ambassador Hodges has beat you. But Sister Linda Forshee, you hold that record of more times than I know of. I want you to get the point. Sister Funky, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Tom. Get about 3 or 4 praise reports and hold the talking down minimum, but just keep it going, if you would, and let the people give their praise reports. All right? The line is open to you, Sister Funky.
Okay. Good morning. This is Sister Pastor Melinda Farshee, and I just thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, seeing another day that brother promised to me this far. Hallelujah. I just thank the Lord because he's been so good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Hallelujah. And now the praise is open to the ones that have a praise.
Somebody jump in and give you
Is anybody got a praise this morning?
Give your praise
report. Oh, yes, I am a praise. God bless you. God keep you. Heaven smile upon you all. This is Pastor Williams from Georgia. It is always a great blessing to be on the First Fruit prayer line. God bless you, and I concur. I did not get on at the very start, but when I got on the line, I was hearing Dr. Johnson. He was echoing someone else, but he was anointing on layaway, and that is so profound. Thank you very much, hallelujah, to be able to echo the words, not to put your anointing on layaway, and I thank God for that, because as you were saying, don't put your anointing on layaway. We also have to have a strategy for our anointing, because the enemy will definitely try to destroy us, glory to God, and we have to have a strategy to work our anointing, just as we have to have a strategy to bring in the prophecies that have been spoken over our life. It takes a strategy, glory to God, hallelujah. Just say, just giving a person a word and they receive that word and they move on is not enough. You're going to need a strategy to work that prophecy. The Bible said watch and pray, hallelujah. And while you're watching and praying, you also need to be fasting, hallelujah, and working diligently in order to bring forth the prophecy that has been spoken over our lives. I am excited about the Lord and all that he has done. And God bless you, Chief Ambassador Johnson, and all of you, the saintly people that are on the First Fruit International prayer line. God bless you. Hallelujah. Have a great day. Love you.
Love you, Pastor Williams. Amen.
God bless you, sir. Amen.
Okay,
amen. I receive it.
Let's let Linda Farshee go ahead.
We thank you for that, Dr. Williams. Is anybody else have a praise this morning?
Yes, this is Ambassador Mother Wilson. I am praising God also and giving him thanks for how he waked me up in the morning time. I thank him for how he let me know that his spirit is with me no matter how I feel. And I thank him in the morning time. When I do get up, I praise him. And I want his spirit to continue to be with me no matter how I feel. When I sleep, I'm going to be waking up with the name of Jesus, thanking him for what he has done for me, thanking him for how he has woken me up and keep me on my feet. I tell you, I am praising God, and I praise God for the prayer line because this is my strength and my morning breakfast. God bless you and continue to keep on, and I'll keep eating in the morning time. Thank Dr. Johnson for that wonderful message this morning. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
My little son, he need a miracle.
Yeah.
Where's that need a miracle?
Well, one of my little kids.
Is that what he needs a miracle? Did he say that?
Yes, sir.
Get him on the line.
Anthony.
Anthony, come on here, buddy.
Come on. He said, come on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Anthony,
hello.
How you doing, man?
How are y'all?
How old are you?
Good.
He said, how old are you? 7. He's 7.
Years old. Hey, Anthony, you say you need a miracle?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you, too. But who on this line will hear this little child saying he need a miracle?
Yeah.
and you wouldn't pray for him.
Who will
get line with me? I'm going to open up the line.
I'll pray for him.
All right,
my name is Christy. Lord, I want you to bless this baby. Lord, I want you to plant a seed of greatness. Lord, I want you to touch this baby's life. Let him be a source of you, God. Lord, I want you to protect his steps and go to school. I want you to give him the knowledge and the wisdom that he needs to be above and beyond asking. Lord, I want you to protect him as he comes and goes. Protect his heart. Protect his walls. Protect his ways, Lord. Lord, I want you to bless this baby and whatever type of miracle he's asking for. He knows what he's asking for in his mind, Lord. I want you to give it to him so he can see that you are real. I want you to continue to give him the want to have a miracle, to want to reach for you, to want to know you. Lord, I want you to protect this baby, protect his family, protect everything that he touched, Lord. Lord, let him be a walking miracle in his own right. Let him have the knowledge, Lord, that he needs to bless other little babies as he goes throughout his day. Lord, I want you to just give this baby a supernatural miracle. Whatever type of miracle in this baby's mind that he's try to possess, I want you to manifest that. I want you to show him that you are God and you are God all by yourself. Lord, I thank you for this baby. I thank you for this baby courage just to shout out that I need a miracle. Sometimes you don't know what to say, but you only have one word to say. I thank you. Because I think that saying right there applies to everybody. Lord, I just want you to bless him. I want you to keep him. And I want you to anoint him. I want the Holy Spirit to grab him. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to just dwell in him day by day, Lord. And I just thank you for this child. I thank you for his tenacity just to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning to seek you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. That shows me that if a baby can seek you, then I can seek you. Lord, I thank you. And I just want you to just bless him and know that he is God. He is a child of God. That you have him, that you love him, that you cherish him, that you picked him, that you chose him, Lord. And I just thank you for just letting me be on this line to hear this baby say he need a miracle. You are awesome, God. You use who you want to use. You can use a rock. You can use a child. You can use whoever you want to use, Lord. And I just want you just to continue, just to give him the courage, just to give him the boldness that he needs to walk with you and for you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, my Amen. God. What a prayer. Amen. Thank you for talking to this precious woman, Sister Christy.
This is my first day.
Oh, what?
Well, keep coming out here, baby, because that encouraged me.
And pray for me, sister. He's a twin. He's welcome.
Right.
You should not wait, but pray for her, too. I take that prayer for her, too.
Yes. I'm talking to the King of Kings.
If anyone else
has a prayer, help this child in the name of Jesus. And let all these things asked over him come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name, help him in greatness as he is anointed to be great. Oh, my God, I preached about Saul for a reason. God, don't let him ever put his anointing and lay away. But let him stay strong and stay on the firing line for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, little Anthony. The Lord bless you, little buddy.
God bless you, buddy.
God bless you, this is my first day being on the phone.
Dr. Duncan.
Go ahead, Pastor Williams, go ahead.
Amen. Is this young man, is he close to you? Is he in your city?
No, sir. I don't know him. Mother Wilson, is that your grandchild?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's Memphis, Tennessee, yeah.
Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. Hopefully,